So delighted to be here today. And before I start, I want to call my extraordinary panel, Smita, Meera, Niti, Mansi, and Dr. Simmi. I'll introduce them later, but first they should need a break from the freezing cold. So I'm so overawed by this occasion that I have a ready-made script to read out, so I don't make any mistakes. Okay, so good morning, everybody, the organizers, the audience, and thank you for having all of us over here. We're really privileged to speak from this platform. The topic for our discussion today is investing in women's economic development. This is a very hard-hitting topic and does not touch on soft topics at all. It is at the core of our future, and I'm so excited that this distinguished panel is going to speak about it. Women are at the heart of our transforming global economy. Even in a fluctuating economy, they hold influence as the highest spending consumers for their households. Yet women remain behind when exercising their own financial power. Only 30% of women are considered financially literate worldwide. In turn, women are less likely to identify their monetary worth, ask for raises, and receive financial education. In this discussion, we will unpack why accessibility is essential for women to reach financial security. The format we are going to follow today is I'm going to introduce each of the panelists. We're going to have a set of questions which they will answer. And at the end, we have kept about 8 to 10 minutes for audience Q&A. So we want a very participative audience. Please ask us tough questions. Okay. So I'm Purnima Shenoy. I represent FICCI. I'm based in D.C., heading the Americas office of FICCI. Here is Smita Gruter, who is the founder of Hemlata, and she'll speak more about her organization. She just recently won a very prestigious venture award in Switzerland, and congratulations, Smita. Next, we have Meera Shenoy, who is the founder of Youth for Jobs. Ever since people have found out that Meera is in my panel, I've become very popular. They think Shenoy to Shenoy, we are related, and they want me to introduce her. We are not related, but I'm very happy to have a Comki woman out here. We are so few of us. So Meera is very well known. She's been on Mann Ki Baat of the Prime Minister. She's won MIT awards. She's won a lot of awards, and people should speak with her. Then is Niti Jain, co-founder of Quinn Network. Forgive me if I don't know individual awards. Please speak about them in your session. Then we have Mansi Kabra, Associate Director, Good Business Lab. We have Dr. Simmi Mehta, CEO, Impact and Policy Research Institute, Delhi. I'm so glad that we have one PhD in our panel. Raises all our value. And lastly, we have Gloria Jonathan of Bindi International, but she will expand what Bindi International is all about. So I'm going to ask a set of questions. They will introduce their organization, themselves, and answer the question. So the first question is to Smita and Meera, so that they bring different perspectives to it. Smita is based in Switzerland. Meera is in Hyderabad, two very different worlds, but something should be common for them. So let's set a context. Only 30% of women are considered financially literate worldwide. What do you believe are some of the reasons for financial gender inequality in 2023? Do these reasons differ on an international scale? So I'll ask Smita to speak first, speak about Hemlata, speak on the topic, then I'll ask Meera to address the question similarly. Over to you, Smita.
Good morning, everybody, and it's a pleasure to be here. So my name is Smita Sachde Gruta, and I'm the founder of Hemlata, an organization empowering young women towards financial independence and creating opportunities for them to lead with dignity and self-worth and to ensure that they can shape their own future. So to your question, Purnima, yes, there are many barriers towards women's financial independence or women's economic development. And yes, they do differ from country to country on an international scale. But let's look at India. Looking at the barriers to economic development in India, we designed a holistic 5-pillar model to combat these very barriers. So let's look at one of the most important ones. There's a lack of access to quality tertiary education. And because of that, Hemlata has put in place funding for education at accredited universities. Then you have a lack of role models. So we brought in mentorship. So to combat lack of role models, we added mentors from outside of India to bring in diversity in thought and perspective. There are lack of essential skills, or what we call life skills. And for these very skills, we establish life skills based on UNESCO and asked IMD Business School, coaches from IMD Business School, to evaluate our life skills. We then have social norms or cultural norms, which we have to combat. And for this, we added interdisciplinary learning and development skills. And lastly, of course, careers and pay parity. And to combat that, we added professional career skills. So we are very happy to say that our young women in the program, or Hemlata scholars, are actually on track to achieve financial independence and become empowered young women. So we're extremely proud of this. But every path towards financial independence, or every road towards economic development, must be sustainable and must be measurable. So our sustainability comes in place because we, of course, adhere to the SDGs. But more important, our scholars pay back 1/3 of the investment Hemlata has made in their education and in their growth back to uplift another incoming scholar. And our measurement comes from what we call an SROI, or social return on investment. And this SROI, we calculated up to 2030 because we believe that every rupee or every dollar invested and spent into the program needs to be measured. And when we talk about measurement, when we calculated it up to 2030, our impact was 4.9x for every rupee or every dollar spent. That is 4.9 times until 2030. Now, if I shift that needle from 2030 to 2050 across the scholar's lifespan, my SROI, or Hemlata's SROI, jumps exponentially to 25x. So the impact is 25 times when you invest, or we invest collectively, in young women in their journey moving forward. So I think every road to financial independence, every economic development that we speak of, let's make it innovative, measurable, and sustainable, because that's the only way we are going to influence how gender relations change in the coming years. Thank you very much.
Yeah, over to you, Meera. Thank you.
Thanks,
Purnima. Youth for Jobs works with young men and women with disability to make them poverty free. We believe that if you give a job or a resilient livelihood to a young person, it takes the entire family out of poverty in a very sustained manner. So the focus of the work which we do is to give them 21st century marketing skills, which is English communication, soft skills, life skills, financial literacy, digital literacy, and then to link them to jobs or enterprises. And we do this at youth scale. And that's why I'm so happy to be here with the FI in the Equality Lounge, in the Economic Empowerment panel. When you're a young woman with disability from the villages of India and poor, let me tell you, as I keep saying again and again, you have four burdens on your shoulder. So how do we work together to somewhat lighten their shoulders? And the path is economic empowerment, we realized. Let me give you an example. During COVID times, our call center was bombarded by young women, young widows calling us saying, we too want money in our pockets. We too want to be independent. And what they wanted was, they wanted our classes to be run during afternoon so that they can finish their housework and then join these classes. We did just that. Then they asked us for local jobs and nano enterprises. So for jobs, we ran campaigns saying each one take one. And for the enterprises, we started enterprise skills, teaching them with fun apps and social media. And you won't imagine, we think in our parlance they're not educated. But by Jove, they understood how to use these apps and how to press the tablet buttons to improve their lives better. So I'm just going to tell you a little story. I was entering a television interview studio when a girl tapped me on the shoulder and she said, thank you for giving me a job. Not just for giving me a job, but more importantly, I married better. And I saw her sitting on a scooter. She was expecting a baby. She had married a bank officer. And all this she had managed to do only because she had a job. And that brings her closer to yours and my world. We work with about 1,500 companies to make this happen. And recently in a multinational, in Amazon alone, we have about 4,000 speech and hearing women working with us. We work at youth scale, pan-India, from Kashmir to Northeast. In a multinational recently, the CEO had put a target of 2% of their workforce to be girls with disability. Today, they've raised it to 10% because attrition is better, productivity is better. And in COVID times, these were the only girls who kept the entire office going. My request in this forum is that all of us, I think Shelley and Rhonda both told us that how fantastic it is when women come together. That's true, really. I'm launching shortly, and this is the first forum where I'm expressing it. It's called We Do. It's global women to come together to make sure that women entrepreneurs with disabilities get raised to the next level. I think all of us are... Thank you. I think all of us are really in a thriving world just by some accident of birth. I think if we all join hands together, we can make sure that the intersectional issues which generally get left behind can get picked up, and we can make sure that the marginalized get mainstreamed into the gender agenda. Thank you, Purnima.
Thank you very much, Meera. It's good to have two different perspectives, but it touches the same point. So my next question is going to be for Neeti and Simi, and let us all keep to our time. I'm very concerned with that ticking clock. I feel it's like a bomb out there. What roles do generational knowledge and generational investment play in closing the financial inequality gap? What are some cultural impacts that can influence its importance? What steps can we take to ensure women are better equipped later in life to prepare for their long-term needs? I know it's a lot of questions. You can address any part of it by example or any way that you think best.
So, good morning, everyone. I'm Neeti Jain.
Simi later.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I'm Neeti Jain, co-founder at Queen. We have a vision to put more women in the workforce, make them financially independent. So we connect them with corporates who are obviously looking for their diversity initiatives. So I'll not give you a lot more information on Queen, but to answer Purnima's question, because she said the time bomb is ticking there, I'll just go give a little bit story. I recently had a friend who lost her husband. So as a single mother of a teenager daughter, she was in a completely financial mess. And she came to me and said, what can I do? I said, why aren't you aware of your financial situation, your investments, your retirement planning. And she said from generations, whether before marriage or after marriage, it's been the men in her family who have been handling the finances, you know. So it's whether her father or her husband. And she had no idea even about her own retirement planning. So even though the female literacy rate in India is 70.3%, the financial literacy rate is only 21%, you know, which puts us really at the bottom globally, right? So what do we want to do there? It needs to, you know, from generational women have been playing the role of caregivers and men have been playing the role of breadwinners. And hence, women have always been left out from financial discussions at home or even in their work place. So, you know, it even excludes them from their own planning for retirement, insurance and savings. So what do we do? This, there needs to be a targeted interventions coming from everybody, whether it's the government, social organizations, or private organizations and corporates as well. And I would say women organizations like these, when women lead and when women come together, there is more impact than few women making a powerful statement out there. When we go together, more women get the confidence to participate in financial discussions, to you know, become financially independent as well. So what I would say is there are a few things that we could do. We could, from the government perspective, if we can have the financial curriculum included right from school, when we teach our young girls about savings, about investments, that's when it can start early and that's when it can go from one generation to another. We can have more corporates with CSR activities in financial literacy. And education is very important. And today with technology, we can have so much more to do on social media and e-learnings, telling more about the financial programs specifically designed for women. So I think these are just few of the things that we could do together. If you are in the literacy space or if you are in the women, in providing women with jobs or making them entrepreneurs or making women leaders, that's where we can come together, all of us, and build a community where women are not only financially independent and financially literate as well. As the old adage goes, educating a woman, you educate a family. It goes the same with financial education. If you educate a woman on financial education, she will teach her children, her, the next generations about financial. And that's when it will move from generation to generation.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm watching the time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm Simi. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for having me on the panel. So I'll take it from where Neeti just left about transferring of knowledge, the generational knowledge. The question was about what generational knowledge and generational investment is all about. So it is actually, these are very, very significant in terms of bridging the financial inequalities, inequality gaps. So basically, when we talk about our elders, when we talk about the older generations, they have with them invaluable knowledge and experience that they have acquired through their own life experiences in terms of better investment. How do you invest wisely? How do you save wisely for various kinds of economic crises? They have also dealt with themselves macro and micro level economic crises, maybe in their families also. They have seen that in their own, in the economies that they have lived through. So they bring a wealth of experience and knowledge in terms of how one should, or the next younger generations should, be able to invest, should be able to save. And this actually leads to a lot of invaluable knowledge about inheritance and inheritance and transfer of ownership to the next generations. So, for example, if the beneficiaries are educated, they are more likely to utilize the inheritance and the family wealth in a much better manner. And then if we talk about the generational investment, first and top priority is education, as Neeti has just mentioned and also was being mentioned in the first panel. Education actually breaks the barriers of and the cycles of poverty. And women are known to be utilizing this this entire knowledge, education, to the best of their abilities. They have been known, and they have been. It is world known. So education is very important. And then how about transfer? When we talk about business succession, or also about inheritance of wealth, or business succession, or even entrepreneurship. So when we are talking about responsible transfer of assets, the movable and the immovable assets, it actually helps the younger generation. And if we bring in women and the girls into the picture, because we have been quite successful after 2005, when the Hindu Succession Act, the Section 6 was amended, and women became co-parsoners in the property. Yeah, I'll end quickly. I'll just end with the fact that the cultural impact which brings about is of collectivism and individualism. So collectivism tends to generally be respectful of the elders, and also, and on the other hand, the individualism is much focused on the self-reliance part. So since I am the CEO of Impact and Policy Research Institute, it is my own brainchild, and we are into policy research. We engage in socio-economic, political, and governance research. I am also the academic director of Oxford Public School, which is of which the chairperson is my father. So it is a convergence of both collectivism and individualism. So it just depends upon how the generational knowledge of investments and also of the financial questions are really transferred to the next generations, so that the next generations have a fulfilling and productive life. Thank you.
Thank you, Simi. Sorry to put pressure on you.
Thank you.
The last two speakers always suffer. I'm so sorry for you guys. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question. Give me 3 points each. You can give it to me as bullet. So women globally are still less likely to have a bank account and have limited access to banking services. Take it in any way, interpret it any way you want. I think India is the best digital payment system in the world. We should all clap, actually. It's the best in the world. Especially after you go to the US, you learn to appreciate it even more. Okay? Our GPay is wonderful. I'm singing praises all the time of our digital payment services. So how does access and ownership change the equation for women? And what do you think should be the first step for women to gain financial access? Give me any 3 points top of your mind, Mansi and Gloria.
Thank you, Purnima. I'll just quickly introduce my organization, because I'm very excited with all the focus on data and evidence, because that's exactly what we do. Good Business Lab is primarily a research organization, and we exist to transform labor markets to positively change the lives of low-income workers. Our body of work is rooted in labor-intensive industries, but our research prioritizes vulnerable populations like migrant women workers. And we've, in fact, done research not long ago in 2020 to actually study what can increase the uptake of digital payment platforms among female migrant workers. But to come to the question at hand, I think there are several barriers to financial security among women. But besides social biases and mobility and logistic constraints, in such a digitally connected world, access to technology plays such a key role. And here, the devil is in the details, at least in the Indian context, because according to the recent NFHS surveys, even though the mobile phone ownership at the household level has significantly increased, less than half of the women in rural areas have phone that they report using themselves. So this male mobile phone gatekeeping of sorts not only prevents women from accessing financial services, it also prevents service providers from accessing female respondents. And that leads to the design of tools and technologies and programs that squarely overlook this population. Sorry, I'm not meeting the brief, but 3 quick points. I feel access to technology, improving the understanding, and also building trust in the technology. Because I completely agree with you that India is one of the best when it comes to digital payment platforms, but rural women as a population are left behind. And it is largely because of this lack of trust and fear of technology that I think needs to be addressed.
Thanks. I think that's a good transition to what I want to share. The organization I work for works with rural women entrepreneurs, most of whom are illiterate or semi-literate. And the program we run is called Women Prosper Initiative. It's an initiative that creates women entrepreneurs who build, install, repair, and sell solar-powered products. So these women are ambassadors of clean energy in their communities, as well as being role models for the rest of the community. So we have 645 women in 17 states at this point, and I'll go straight to the answer. I feel like the question of whether they have a bank account, it's now a very tokenistic activity. 8 out of 10 rural women have bank accounts. Do they do anything with it? No, not really. And some points here have been addressed. There's barriers to access to technology. And in our case, we realized that to build these women to be successful entrepreneurs, just the hard skills don't work. They need to have access to digital technology. They need to learn financial inclusion, digital inclusion, a number of other things for them to be successful. And the challenges are in creating the ecosystem that will make them successful. And the ecosystem just doesn't exist, not even for urban women. So the rural women are miles away from this. So the questions we need to ask are, we all hear about climate finance. How much of that is going towards women? And these women will be way more successful with off-grid technology, which reaches communities much faster than what other grid options can do. So how much of that goes to them? How can we create the ecosystem that makes them successful? So I think we have to go beyond, some of these checkbox questions and look at how we can scale these models. Thanks.
Thank you, Gloria. We are saved because of your keeping to the time. We have two questions for the audience. Madhura has told me she's going to ask one question. So I will ask someone from this side, please raise your hand and ask the question. Anybody? Madhura, all yours.
Thank you. Yes. In fact, my question would be to Meera. Meera, we run an organization called Aspire for Her. I'm the founder and CEO. We are trying to add 1 million women to the workforce by 2025. And very recently, in fact, just today, just a few minutes ago, we have just started our partnership with the training disabled women on cloud with our wonderful partners, Amazon Web Services. And you also mentioned Amazon. We'd love to know what more we can do to get more women who are at the periphery of ability into our community, and would love to learn more from you. Anything from your side?
Thank you, Madhura. I think what you said is so, it sort of captures the spirit of what we all are trying to do together. So definitely, we will leverage your competencies. You can leverage mine. You can take my scale. We'll see how we can do it better. The cloud guys are buddies of ours. They've come into to understand all our work. So here's the first partnership of this wonderful forum. Thank you.
Congratulations to the organizers. So any more questions? Jesse, anything from you? I have to give preference to Bangalore girls. I'm totally biased. Okay. Yeah, very good. You have 30 seconds.
I will finish before that, ma. Thank you so much for the question, and it's a wonderful panel. It's great to hear you all. So I want to introduce myself. My name is Ananya. I'm a final year law student from Amity University. So my question is a little related to the Succession Act, which ma'am had proposed.
Address it to somebody in specific.
The ma'am in black. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. Simi, ma'am. The question is to you. So, as you said, that Section 6 was revoked and again apprehended in Section 30 later. So, do you think that, yes, firstly, we have got the succession rights. Women can now challenge the will in the courts. But do you think that at the household, the mindset of families have actually changed? Will it really
stop, help? Stop. Do not go expand anymore. Yes. Please answer this. We got your question.
To answer your question,
you'd be disappointed, but the answer is no. We need to really work hard. We need to make our voices heard. And it has to start at the individual level, and then we need to build allies. We need to build allies in our own families, extended families, in events like these, and also at the topmost levels. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful panel. Thank you, Shelley, Rhonda, Marissa, for inviting us here and giving us this wonderful platform. Thank you, Smita, Meera, Niti, Mansi, Simi, and Gloria. Wonderful to have you. I learned a lot today. Thank you so much.